This is the God, Health, and Me Discovery Course, Audio Disc 2.
Neuroplasticity, the capability of neurons and neural networks in the brain to change their connections and behavior in response to new information, new stimulation. Let's put it this way. It's like if you had a field, and any of you horseback riders or three-wheeler riders or something, okay, and you start taking a path, and then what happens is you'll naturally keep taking that path, and pretty soon it becomes a well-established kind of rut or road, you know? And so naturally you won't even go over here or here, you'll just go right down there. Well, your brain does the same thing. You have neural pathways. You've established a way of thinking, you've established a way of looking at things, and you have neural pathways as to how you'll respond to something. And what we're talking about is changing that neural pathway, how you respond to something. And the cool thing, the science is that your brain, we used to think that the brain was fixed. We used to think the neural network was fixed. We used to think your DNA was fixed. We now know none of it is fixed. It's all plastic. Your brain is moldable and shapeable. Your neural pathways are completely changeable. You can have neuron that maybe you've gone through sexual abuse, for example, and a neuron, it'll look like here's your nervous cell, and you've got the dendrites coming out of here that communicate, right? And you can have just like this picture on there that just shows it, you know, with just very sparse, actually looks black and withered where that memory is stored. You can actually see it. Now you can begin to change your predominant emotional state. You can begin to change your thinking and keep directing thinking, and it actually grows and it starts getting more dendrites, and it can become, and then you get more attaching and you get more attaching, and it becomes like this dense forest. So you literally can change all the way down to that level, the communication system. But not only that, the very structure of your brain, the amount of gray matter, the thickness of your neocortex, I mean, all of that changes. So what I want you to begin to think of things is not as fixed, but begin to think of it as plastic, not plastic as in hard plastic, but plastic as in moldable, shapeable. Your brain is moldable and shapeable. Your body is moldable and shapeable. It's not fixed. We used to think even your DNA, I'm just stuck with the DNA I got. You got the double helix strand and bam, and this is the DNA I was dealt with, external locus of control. No, we know the DNA responds. We know the DNA responds. I've shared some of the experiments that have been done that are so powerful around this concept. And one of the experiments was have a jar and take everything out and just have some, the smallest level of energy, the photons, the quanta in there. Let's just have the smallest amount of energy in there. And so you have this jar and you've got the smallest smallest particles, and they're in there and they're just like dancing around in the jar and they're just having their good time. Mm-hmm. Now, take a piece of DNA, swab some DNA from your mouth and put it in there, or from anywhere, put a piece of DNA in there, and do you know all of the particles snap into line to line up with that? They respond to your DNA. Meaning, nature, your environment, your world is responding to your DNA. Pull the DNA back out of the jar and you think that they'd go play? No. You had a permanent effect on it. It stayed exactly how you left it. Now, if your DNA is changing nature, is changing matter, and your emotions are changing your DNA, now watch this. Take your DNA and have you watch a traumatic, maybe you watch some war footage, or you watch something traumatic. Instantaneously when you watch it, your DNA changes. Take the DNA out of your body, drive it 200 miles away, and have a monitor on it, and watch that movie. Here, your DNA is there. Watch that movie. Instantaneously, your DNA is being affected, even out of your body. There's a reason why. There's a reason why Jesus said, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. There's a reason he could talk to the fig tree and curse it. There's a reason he could calm the storm. You were actually built in, made in the image of God. Read Genesis 1. He made you in his image and gave you dominion over all of nature. You were made for dominion. You were made to rule. The only thing you're not made to rule is another human being, because all humans are made to rule. And that was male and female, by the way. It wasn't just male. You were made to rule and have dominion. You were created to do that. And then you were given the power to do that. And that's just an example of how your emotions change your DNA. Your DNA changes matter. This is powerful stuff. When you get an understanding of this, see, when I was educated, I did all the coursework to go to medical school. And when I was educated and did 5 years of chemistry and did physics and all of that, it was Newtonian physics. I wasn't taught quantum physics. Quantum physics has changed everything. Because I was taught that matter can be in only one place at one time. No, matter can be everywhere at the same time. That's why God can be everywhere at the same time. I was taught that it can either be particle or light or particle or energy. No, it can shift both. I was taught that we're just observers of our universe, that we just got this universe going on and we're outside observers. Quantum physics shows our observation of matter changes matter. You can take particles, the double slit experiment, and they'll go through one way, and by just observing the particles, it'll split and go through both. You can, just by your observation. You're not a casual observation. You've been made in the image of God. You've been made a co-creator. You've been given incredible power, and somebody came and pulled the wool over your eyes that you don't even know the power you have. So you think you can just casually speak words. You think you can just joke and cut someone down with your words. You think you can have negative self-talk on yourself. You think you can just have the luxury to hold on to every single emotion that you feel like. You think you have the luxury of having undisciplined thought. You think you can just give away your power and wait for something outside to come rescue you? Not even knowing that you're made in the very image of God for dominion and rulership, with the power of life and death in your tongue, with all authority. Time to take back your power. You're waiting for someone else. It's like you're waiting on God and God's waiting on you. You're busy waiting on God to fix things and God's waiting on you. He's like, what else do you want me to do that I haven't done already? That's why the truth sets you free. That's why it's about awareness. The more you increase your level of awareness, the more your life's going to totally transform. The kind of breakthrough that you were getting this morning, when you could say, I am love, and you could say, I choose. You see, you took back your power. You can say, I choose. That's why scripture says, choose you this day whom you'll serve. God didn't choose it for you. He said, choose you this day. Choose you this day. Hear that twice. Mm-hmm. Choose you.
Yes.
Choose you.
Yes.
Choose you, yes, this day whom you'll serve. You getting a hold of this? Mm-hmm. So, talking about prayer and meditation, do you know that actual meditation increases the thickness? This is just some of the things that change neuroplasticity. Meditators increase the thickness of the brain's gray matter up to 4 to 8 thousandths of an inch. You literally can change the thickness of your brain by prayer and meditation. Your brain is plastic. You can choose. I'm going to give you a little contrast. I'm going to jump to the end. And you know what else we know? You can shrink your brain. Do you know negative emotions literally shrink your brain? You wonder why the memory problems, you're wondering why the concentration problems, you're wondering why the scattered thinking. Wow. So the positive emotions are expansive. The love is expansive. The choosing is expansive. Stop that, and you're literally shrinking your brain. Yeah. Do you understand the power that you have? Who's choosing your thoughts? If God didn't think you could choose your thoughts, he wouldn't tell you to take every thought captive. He wouldn't tell you that the way to be transformed is by the renewing of your mind. He wouldn't tell you that whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's of good report, think on these things if he didn't know that you had the power to do it. He wouldn't tell you to choose you this day if he didn't have the power to choose. You gotta take back your power. I didn't get that when I first heard that. I totally did not get that. Long-term meditators have larger amounts of gyrification. That's, you know how in the gray matter it all folds like this? Okay? And so the more you're meditating, the more you have, which means you'll be faster and faster at processing information. It means you'll remember things. And it's the reason why that they've done studies in the school that the kids that pray have higher grades. There's a reason that you want to increase. You'll do it. Increase and start adding that prayer and that meditation into your life, and you're actually changing the physical structure of your brain. That's strong. You're increasing. It only took 2 weeks. The axons right there that you see, the dendrites, the difference between this one and this one, there's change within 2 weeks of doing this. That's how plastic you are. And the increased myelin. Who knows what's myelin? Within 1 month, your myelin is increasing. Who knows myelin? We were just talking about MS.
Myelin sheath.
The myelin sheath. So you've got your nervous system, right? And it's just like if you had exposed wires out in nature or whatever, you've got to have it wrapped outside, right? That's how we have our wires, right? You've got the plastic on the outside. Well, so is your nervous system. The myelin sheath is wrapping around. And now we get these holes in the myelin sheath, and then we call it MS. But you mean you're telling me prayer and meditation increases the myelin sheath? That would be interesting to consider. Stuff's heavy. Other findings: less anxiety, less depression, less anger, less fatigue from prayer and meditation. There was an increase in blood flow within the cortex. After only 5 days of 20-minute meditations, there was an increase in the blood flow. The subjects had lower heart rates, decreased skin conductance, decreased breathing rates, increased belly breathing. All that changed.
So what's the skin conductance related to?
I don't know. I just read that myself and I was having the same thought. I'll get back to you on that.
Okay.
It's a good point. I have to think about that one. I don't know why I didn't see that when I put it in there, and I have to think about that. It grabbed me too. So the shrinking brain, the scientific evidence proves that certain thoughts can physically shrink your brain as much as 20%. Your thoughts are things. They are matter. They are energy. They cause change in your environment. They cause change in your body. They cause change in your brain. And this is saying, the research, that you actually can shrink your brain. The wrong thinking shrinks your brain as much as 20%. That's huge. That's huge. The study, the McGill study, it took 92 people over a period of 15 years. The brains of those with a negative self-esteem were just literally shrinking away. So here's the big thing to get out of this when we're dealing with emotions. Need you to understand that emotions are not neutral. And I like to think of it, in fact, I'm going to do a whole series. God's really got me going on this whole thing between love-based and fear-based. This is really big. I don't teach you anything that I don't go through myself and live. This is really important to me. I've always had that standard and that rule. If A, I don't do it and get results, and it's part of me and my experience, and B, if I haven't taught it and seen results in others, I'm not going to bring you something. I'm not going to bring you a textbook. I'm not going to bring you something I don't know. I'm not going to bring something from out there. This is decades of experience. And whatever I teach, I do it on myself. I'm right there with you. Don't ever think that I'm teaching you out of a position of mastery or having arrived. I might be a couple steps ahead because I'm so intense about it and been doing it for so long, but I have the same struggles that you have. I have to master the same things that you have to. I have the same thoughts that have to be taken captive as you do. And I've been taking every single thought. I've been going through this right now because my life's in so much transition, and because I know the truth and I know what I need to do. And I've taken every single emotion and every thought and looked at every action, every belief system, and say, and ask myself, could we just take it for granted? Whatever we've been thinking, we just think it. We've always thought that way. So pause, put it under the microscope and say, is this love-based or is this fear-based? Just get in the habit, whatever you're speaking, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're meditating on, whatever you're believing, by just asking that question, you already are in a whole different state. Is this fear-based or is this love-based? Because what we know scientifically, that the fear-based emotions are the low-frequency emotions are weakening to your body. They weaken you. And the love-based is a very high-frequency emotion, and it strengthens you. That's why it says three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. That's why it says love never fails. You get in a high frequency of love, and it changes everything. Mm-hmm. That's why your source of love is God, because God is love. But God is within you. The kingdom is within you. So you come to the understanding of, oh, wow, then I am love. Should I choose to pull off all the stops and all the delusion and all the misconceptions and all the lies and shed it all and understand that at my very essence, made in the image of God, I'm made in the image of love. You can take the word God anywhere and substitute the word love. So I'm made in the image of love. The Father and I are one. He is in me. I am in you. We are all one. Understand, there's 0 degrees of separation between us here, between us and God. The universe isn't as separate as we like to make it. It's not outside of you. And that changes everything. Do you understand? It just changes everything. So each emotion has a vibrational frequency. Each emotion has a vibrational frequency. Now, David Hawkins, very, very scientifically, in a very nice way, he's an MD, he's a PhD. He began to study. And like we'll see in a minute, Dr. Emoto, how can we take these truths and make it real that people can see it and they can apply it? Okay, so he used something called applied kinesiology. Who would like to volunteer for a second?
Someone, come on. See what she can do with this.
Okay. Oh, was that a challenge? No. I love you. I don't need a challenge. I'm just going to share truth with you. That didn't move me at all. Okay. Applied kinesiology, what is quite the science. And what Dr. Hawkins was able to do is create a situation where it could be 100% replicatable. In other words, an experiment should be able to be duplicated over and over and over and over and get the same results. And he came up with a way that it could be using applied kinesiology. Because there's equipment that does it too, but it's much more complicated. Applied kinesiology, we all have it. We all have right here. Okay, and so applied kinesiology, he could find it, and he could find out what emotions were strengthening and what emotions were weakening. Okay? So the way that you do this, we're going to face each other. Okay? Have you ever done kinesiology? Do you know it? Do you know what it is?
Well, I just know it's, you know, kinesiology is your body movement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So applied kinesiology is that your body doesn't lie, it's going to talk. Okay? So we're going to take this arm, all right? And I'm not going to be pressing very hard. I'll probably use 2 fingers right here, okay? Mm-hmm. And so what I want you to do, your job is to resist. So when I push, I want you to resist so that I can't push you down. Resist, okay? All right? That's what we're doing fundamentally, okay? Everybody see, all right? Now, I want you to go ahead and put it back out again. And I want you to say, and really feel it with the emotion. Don't try to resist me, because the object is for you to experience this, okay? So don't try to prove me wrong or anything. Just allow your body to take it in for a minute, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, so put it out there, and I want you to say, no, I can't.
Just say it out loud. Just say, no,
no,
I can't.
No, I can't.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
All right. Okay, I was only using two fingers. I'm not using a lot of force. Okay? Let's do it again. Okay, now I want you to say, yes, I can.
Yes, I can.
Wow. Okay? The body does not lie. There are strengthening belief systems, and there are weakening belief systems. Okay? So we go into our pity party and say, I'm a no good worm, I'm undeserving. Just go ahead and speak that and feel the way that you can feel sometimes. Just...
I'm never going to get it right.
Okay? All right. Now, say, I'm a daughter of the Most High God, made in His image with all power and authority.
I'm a daughter of the Most High God. I am love, pure love, and I have total authority.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Do you guys get this? You just, so you're grounding, you put your hand, you face, you put your left hand there on their shoulder, so you're grounding. It's two fingers, you just get a test mechanism of what their normal strength is. It's not about force, that's why I only use two fingers. I don't have to do much. With those two fingers, I can totally, now, I can show you how it's even affected from your environment. I can have her here, I can whisper, and you guys don't know what's going on. I might do it later. We'll save that one. How much even your environment affects you, okay?
Okay?
All I want you to understand right now is that there are no neutral emotions. There are strengthening emotions and there are weakening emotions. And you're doing that to your body all the time. I'm trying to give you a live example of someone who didn't know what it was. She wasn't preconditioned, wanted you to get a feeling of how this works. So he took that very science of applied kinesiology and began to find out and attach a frequency to it. Now, we've done it with machines. We've attached, that's the other way to go about it. But the fact of the matter is, okay, your body, I don't have a board, do I? Okay. Everything is vibrational. The whole universe is vibrational. Does anybody not understand what I mean by that? Okay. Molecules are just in a state of vibration, and we call that your frequency. Okay. If the waves are far apart, okay, we call that a low frequency, and we call that weakening. Okay, if they're real close together, we call that high frequency. Now, the interesting thing about high frequency, the higher the frequency we know in nature, the closer to the source. The closer you get to your source, the higher frequency are going to be the emotions. Okay, so we've got high frequency. So, this was taken from the book Power Versus Force by Dr. Hawkins, and it says high energy patterns can be proven to strengthen and low energy patterns to weaken through a demonstration meeting scientific criterion of 100% replicatability. We've tested this across the board. Didn't matter age, sex, who, where it was done, who it was done by. This is 100% replicable. So we know this is pure science. This is very, very accurate. He's taken years and great deal amount of research skills to show you that this is the real deal. So high power energy releases brain endorphins and have a tonic effect on all of the organs. Whereas adverse stimuli, which release adrenaline, suppress immune response, and instantaneously cause both weakness. You saw how instantaneous that was. Mm-hmm. Instantaneous cause weakness. Generally speaking, physical and mental health are attendant upon positive attitudes. Whereas ill health, both physical and mental, is associated with such negative attitudes as resentment, jealousy, hostility, self-pity, fear, anxiety. By the way, all of those words are fear-based emotions. They're all fear-based emotions. Do you understand? You don't have the luxury of a negative thought. You don't have the luxury of negative emotions. Now, he took it this way. We can go at it from many angles. You can go, like I said, you can go at it like Candace Pert, the amazing research that she did on the molecules of the emotion, and understand the neuropeptides and how those neuropeptides are communicating with every cell in the body. We can go at it from the electromagnetic frequency standpoint and understand that the amount of energy that you're radiating and what's coming out of your heart is either strengthening or weakening, and it's affecting every molecule in your
environment. This is why when I teach the manifest program, I'm going to teach you how to understand to leverage that. So you're literally manifesting. I mean, you're manifesting all the time, mm-hmm. but learning to manifest the things that you desire, mm-hmm. to remove the blocks that are keeping you from what you desire, mm-hmm. and move into the things that you do when you understand this. So in this case, we're talking about health. And what you desire is vibrant health. You desire youth. You desire strength. You desire energy. You desire, well, those are all 100% tied into having a positive, a high energy, a high vibration, predominant emotional state. It's not the things that happen once in a while. It is what is your predominant emotional state. And for some of you, that's going to take a lot of reworking. For some of you, it's less. For some of you, you know, as I mentioned before the class started, you know, you may have a neural pathway of depression. Something happens, you've got a belief system and says, see, this always happens to me. See, it doesn't work. Bam, negative emotions. Bam, you're down in depression. Bam, now you can't even get out of bed and you don't want to live and you start going into the negative words. What's the use? Why even try? Why bother? And you get way down here. And for some, now that may last you a month or 2 months or a number of months, right? What's going to happen is when you learn to take back your power and you learn to control your predominant emotional state through the tools that I'm teaching you, through the oils, through the affirmations, through the visual, through the movement, through the things I'm teaching you in the Manifest Program, you take back that power. So now maybe what used to keep you down for a month, I used to cry over things. I would spend every night in the bathroom crying. What I thought was being a very spiritual wife, I would stay in the bathroom crying every night and praying. I wore through the book, The Power of a Praying Wife. I wore through it more than I wore through my Bible. Just thinking that I was doing the right thing. I'm in there. I'm praying. I'm crying out to God. But what am I doing? I've got myself in a low frequency vibration of despair, of crying. Grief is way down, almost next to death. It's about as far as you can go down. Yes. So now you wonder why you're having the physical symptoms. It doesn't produce results. Yeah. And then you wonder why I keep praying about the same thing year after year after year after year. And you're thinking, oh, God doesn't answer prayers. No, you don't understand the law of the universe and the law of praying. Not that God doesn't answer prayers. You haven't figured this out. Because nobody teaches this that I can find. It's why he's got me teaching this and prosper in all things. It's why I'm just so overflowing and full and have to get this message out. Because this message isn't in the churches. It's not in the school system. It's not in the TV. I can't find this knowledge. So I was doing it all wrong, making myself physically sick. Okay, now the right side is your male side. And the left side is your female. And now I get to the point where all of a sudden, why was I diagnosed with MS? Oh, because this right leg, it won't carry me anymore. Now it just suddenly collapses out from underneath me. And now I can't run or anything because this leg gives out. It's like, really? Oh, what does the right leg represent? What does the right side represent? Oh, guess what? I dealt with all of those emotional issues. I'm strong as an ox. My legs are working beautiful. I have no cysts on my breasts. I have no knee injury. My knees are perfect. Mm-hmm. I have no problem. I'm not limping. I'm at the tail end of it. I'm not 100%. If I go push myself on a hard walk or something, it starts to give out on me a little bit, but I'm 90% better than I was. I didn't have any medicine. I didn't have any surgery. I didn't have any drugs. What I had was a change of a mindset, a change of an energy vibration, a change of those things that were weakening me, and I no longer needed to have my body teach me that lesson because I got it, and I'm like, I got it. I listen because the body never lies. It's talking to you all the time. We're shutting it up all the time. Every symptom that you have is telling you. Every single thing that your body is doing, every weakness, every sickness, every... I guarantee you. Now I'm at the point, that's why I did with you earlier, and you gave me one symptom or one disease or one, whatever you want to call it, diagnosis, okay? And I just started asking, this is what I do all the time. This is where my confidence has gone up. And I'll pull, there's a variety of good sources. I can pull from Carol Truman's work. I can pull from Louise Hay's work. I can pull some very sophisticated manuals. And I can pull and I can say, were you feeling this and this and this and this? And how many of those that I mentioned were you? All of them. How interesting. That's what goes with chronic fatigue. Change those, you won't have chronic fatigue anymore, and it has nothing to do with any virus or bacteria or drug lacking or surgery needed or anything else. Do you understand? You have the full power to completely walk in the power of God to heal you by simply changing those negative emotions that we just talked about that were tied in with low self-worth and feeling the lack of desire to live. I mean, this is so rocket science. I don't see it fail. I can look it up, and every time it'll be 100% accurate. Every time. I'm not seeing it miss. The body doesn't lie. And it's affecting. It's just that those neuropeptides that are specific to each emotion are going to specific organs. Mm-hmm. That's why that the anger, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, those emotions are going to go to your liver first. Well, the liver then is going to translate in. Depending how strong that anger is, it's going to translate into cancer, most likely. But the liver is the foundation of all disease. Because that's the detox organ, and your body's trying to detox of the negative, weakening emotions. Your kidneys are going to be lack of self-love. They're going to be criticism. They're going to be criticism from others, criticism within yourself. So now you're going to start having kidney issues. You see the female issues? Having a problem with you as a female, with sexuality, with your role as a woman, and all of a sudden now you're going to have bunch of those issues. Have issues around your heart. You have a broken heart. You have a lack of love. You have all of those issues that are heart issues, and of course you're going to have heart issues. Have rigidity issues. Be rigid about stuff and watch how rigid your body gets. So what I want you to understand, don't look at your body as something outside of yourself. Don't look at it as removed. Don't look at it as separate. It is you. Your spirit, soul, and body are one, and your body is trying to communicate with you. So say, what is my body saying? Learn to listen. Which side of the body is it on? Which, you know, what? Which part of the body? And start to begin to look at, you know, is it having to do with your hands, having to do with your legs, having to do with your eyes? Let me show you some of these, but let's look at this graph, and then I'll give you some examples. Okay, so this, if you just get this, it'll just completely rock your world. It'll change everything. I'm looking, for those of you watching, I'm looking at the map of consciousness that was put out by David Hawkins. Dr. David Hawkins. So it's kind of broken into two sections, okay? And so the idea is, remember I just said they're strengthening and they're weakening emotions, okay? And we just demonstrated that with you with the applied kinesiology. You just saw what Dr. Hawkins did. I just did it with you. I'm trained in kinesiology. I have a degree in it. So I just simply did the same thing to show her that there was a belief system she could have that would weaken her whole body. And guess what? She saw it in her muscular structure right there. But guess what else it weakened? It weakened her immune system. It weakened her nervous system. It weakened her endocrine system. It weakened her organs. So you just got to see the physical, the muscular structure being weakened, but it weakened her entire being. So there's weakening emotions and there's strengthening emotions. Okay? So what he found was the baseline at about 200. At about 200, everything below 200 was weakening. And everything above 200 was strengthening. That was the breaking point. So you'll see the frequency. All of these are going down below 200. All of these are going above 200. Okay? These are your strengthening emotions. These are your weakening emotions. Okay? Now, the lowest down here at 20, this is the lowest before you die. The body shuts down and you die. So isn't it interesting that shame is the number one control and manipulation emotion used out there because it completely shuts you down? Mm-hmm. There's been studies of looking at, for example, it looked at the North Korean, the camps for the North Koreans. And they were trying to figure out how was it that these prisoners would just go in and put the blanket over their head and just die. And they weren't using some of the tactics that we know, you know, the bamboo under the fingernails and all of these like extreme. It's like, how did they get these people to just make a decision and go in the corner and die? And it was totally shame-based. Mm-hmm. So what they did is they isolated them. Mm-hmm. And then anything that came in that was uplifting, a son, you know, a wife saying, I love you, or we just had a baby or whatever, it wasn't allowed to get to them. It was taken away. Anything that was negative was given to them, okay? And then they got them in groups of about 8 to 10, and they were to confess in their group in front of the people that they respected every despicable thing that they'd ever done. So just sit and focus on every negative thing or any good thing that they should have done that they didn't do, that all their regrets, get them into shame. Get them into shame. And so isolate, get them into shame, and guess what would happen? They just die. They just go into a corner. They pull a blanket over the head, and you'd find them dead within a few days. They had the highest death rate. No need for physical torture. All you had to do is get them into a shame frequency, the lowest vibration. And yet, we say to our kids, shame on you. We speak that so that we can control our kids, so that they'll be good boys and girls. And not bad boys and girls, as if we can be good or bad. We're inherently good. We're made in the image of God. We're going to shame them into the behavior that we feel is right for that moment. Do you know I have adults trying to say, as recently as in the last couple of months, trying to say that to me? Shame on me. You better learn how to break word curses. You better make sure you don't let that get entrance. I could show you what will happen. As you're part of Prosper in All Things, and as you're part of, and this is why I say, go to every workshop. This is your second or third time to come to this one, and it'll be different every single time, because you're different, because I'm different, because each time your level of consciousness is going up, and it's opening, and it's opening. So what will begin to happen as you have an understanding of this, you'll be able to apply it. And get total transformation, so that won't have that effect on you. You'll have a level of awareness to go, oh, okay, that's shame. No, I don't receive that. That falls lifeless to the ground. That has no power over me. And you begin to walk in a new authority that you can't be controlled and manipulated, which will upset some people around you for a while. But you're going to be strong and you're going to be healthy, and the dis-ease will go away, and the symptoms that were only there as little early detection symbols to let you know that you needed to pay attention, the symptoms will all disappear. You'll just see every single symptom disappear as you take into action this. So you see these low level of emotions down here: shame, guilt, apathy, grief. And the majority of the people spend a lot of time right here in fear. Very debilitating. Fear is only at 100.
Wow.
So fear is very, very weakening. And, you know, the media is based on fear. Control is based on fear. The economy is based on fear. All of those things are based on fear. So you're going to have to become very sensitive to what is love-based and what is fear-based. You're going to have to become very conscious. Otherwise, you are controllable. You are manipulable. But you will get to the place where you can say, oh, that's fear-based. And then you can begin to say things like, that belief system no longer serves me. That emotion no longer serves me. That thinking pattern no longer serves me. Are you willing to let go of the thinking patterns that no longer serve you? See? And that's what you're in the process of doing. I just congratulate you. You're letting go of those things that no longer serve you. And now you can begin to embrace the things that do serve you.
Yes.
And you're going to be a new woman. So if you want to talk about dis-ease, you'll see your weight completely change.
Mm.
We're going to talk a little bit about weight. And there's a number of dimensions to it. So I'm going to bring up a couple of them. Typically, And everything has a bell curve. It's not going to apply. Every single thing I say is not going to apply to every single person. So I'm hitting the bell curve. I'm hitting what's going to be true for the majority of you. Some of you will go, that has nothing to do with it. I'm over here on the curve, or I'm over here on the curve. I'm cool with that. I'm not trying to prove 100% on this. It's just 25, 30 years of observation for me. First thing is, weight is insulation. It's protection.
So who or what are you trying to protect yourself from? Who do you not want to get close to you? Who's hurt you that you need some padding? Think literally. I'm just going to get real with you guys right now. Think literally. When I say something gets hard, you know the story of Pharaoh, and I'm coming back to the weight, but I'm showing you an example. You know the story of Pharaoh with the escape from Egypt, and it says that he hardened his heart. Do you know that they have dug up his remains? They were so well into him that they could slice it, they could study it, they could put it under a microscope, and it was as if someone that just died yesterday. We had that accurate of a reading. Do you know he literally had hardening, salt calcification along his entire artery and heart system? You see, he became hard-hearted. He became hard-hearted. I don't want you to think of a symptom as separate from what it is. He became hard-hearted. Literally, spiritually, emotionally, he became hard-hearted. Okay? So now think, what does fat look like? Let's just be real. You see, if you see a pound or 5 pounds of muscle, it's about this size. People are afraid often of getting muscle because they think it's going to make them bulky and big. But 5 pounds of muscle is about right about there, right? You've got a personal trainer husband. Right about here is 5 pounds of muscle.
Even smaller.
Right about here. Yeah. Okay? 5 pounds of fat is about right here.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I have a model that I could bring out and show you.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is fat doing? How is it serving you? When you get a disease, when you get a belief system, when you're saying, why did I choose that? How is that serving me at that moment? What did I need padding and insulation from? What did I need to keep from getting close to me? Is that ringing true to any of you?
Yes.
Am I hitting home?
Mm-hmm.
Second is you look at what lie or what fear-based thinking is behind it. Because more common than not, now I'm just going from words of what women say to me. They say, I don't trust myself if I was thin. I have some women say, last time I got thin, the man I was with divorced me. Mm-hmm. I have some people say, last time I got thin, I was promiscuous and I don't trust myself to be thin. Mm-hmm. I have some people say, last time I got thin, too many men were all over me and they couldn't see me for who I was. Okay, you've got some lie-based, fear-based thinking. Am I speaking truth here? Can any of you understand? Because you've been asking me, some of you have been asking about this. Do you see any correlation in what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.